This morning, the text that I'm using is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 12 through 27. Bear with me as I share from this passage this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Gracious God, speak to each one of us this morning. May your words be heard. Amen. This past week, I had a doctor's appointment. And when I was at the doctor's, he checked the basic things he needed to check. And he said, "Well, your body is," he didn't say obvious. He said, "It's coming. It's coming along. How about in 2 weeks we do a real physical?" He found out that I turned 50. I don't know what that means. I don't want to know. Okay? His concern was that I would have a healthy body. And it should be more of my concern, too. And so we're probably going to be working on that. Our text today talks about a healthy body. It talks about, first of all, that the church is a body. Now, there are a couple things that it says. It says, first of all, we are Christ's body. The body is a unit. We are Christ. So it is with Christ. He said, we're the body of Christ, verse 27. We are Christ's bodies, or Christ's body. One body. Many parts. And what's it mean to be part of the body of Christ? Well, Teresa mentioned it, and I think I mentioned it even in our prayer, that there are some things that connect us together as the body of Christ. And it really comes down to Jesus being not just our Savior, but our Lord also. And those who claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, that brings us into the body of Christ. Now, there are other parts that go along with that. We believe in the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, that he was died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, that we follow him. This is what it means to have Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Right? And those who do are part of the body of Christ. The text also tells us that we are one part or one body with many parts. Okay, so we're not just one big clump of something, but we have many little parts that work together. Many of you realize that I'm not that mechanical on some things. And so when it comes to my car, I look at my car and say, my car doesn't work. And someone else will say, well, did you check the this or did you check that? And I'm going, I don't know. My car doesn't work. I look at the car as the part, the whole part. And yet there are all these tiny little parts that need to work together in order for it to function. The church is not just one thing. It is many, many parts made up into one body. And that's what our text talks about today. It says, talks about the fact that there are, well, just says, God has arranged the parts, every one of them, where he wants them to be. And we need all the various parts. Each one of you is part of the body of Christ. So what's that mean? Well, it means that in the body of Christ, we may have different jobs and different gifts. If you read around this text, you hear a lot about giftedness. And so we're not going to look the same in the things that we do. There are different kinds of people that are part of the body of Christ. People that are that look differently and act differently from different cultures and different backgrounds and different experiences, different understandings. People who have had different experiences with God. I was reading some different people who talked about how they came into the family of God this past week. And such variety of ways. Some who prayed the sinner's prayer. Others who came to the realization that they never didn't believe in Christ because of the way they were raised. Others who kind of worked their way into the family of God and finally came to the realization that that's where they were. There are all kinds of ways that we come into the family. Different experiences with God. Different understandings of God. We are one body with many parts. And here's the beautiful thing. That this diverse body was put together and arranged by God. You see, we didn't just happen to be here together. And we don't just happen to be in the family of God. But God has arranged this body and put it together. That's what it says in verse 18. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now that's a beautiful picture. So we start there and we say, so what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that we are still sinful people. We are still sinful people. And there's a sin that we are pretty good at. And that's a sin of exclusion. We want to be Christ's body, but we don't necessarily want to be one body. Right? And so there's exclusion that we're often part of. All of us, and I confess it of myself. Sometimes, in our text it talks about this exclusion. Sometimes we have personal feelings of unworthiness, and so we want to exclude ourselves from the body of Christ. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that's self-exclusion. Maybe a sense of unworthiness. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. We sometimes look at others and say, well, they're an important part of the body, but I'm not. And unworthiness, feelings of unworthiness, come from all kinds of experiences in our lives. And it's usually a very painful type of thing. But I want you to understand that when we feel unworthy, it's because we're not remembering what it is that God has done. You see, because all of us are unworthy. None of us deserve to be part of the body of Christ. No matter how good someone may act, no matter how much Bible somebody may know, none of us deserves to be part of the body of Christ. But it is what Jesus has done in his death that has brought us into that body. So God has brought us in. So we may feel like we're not worthy. But what we're saying is, God, your redemptive power isn't enough for me. When we say, I'm not worthy to be part of the body of Christ, we're actually showing that we're lacking in faith. That God can do something amazing in my life. We might say, oh, God can do something amazing in that life or that life, but not in mine. I've got too much baggage. I've done too many bad things. Maybe you've been told that you weren't worthy too many times. I want you to know that God's love for you is complete, and his acceptance of you is without question. If you have believed in his Son, that he is your Savior and Lord, you are an important part of the body of Christ. Sometimes we exclude ourselves. Sometimes that's maybe more often than not. That's not the problem, but we want to exclude others from the body. We want to say, instead of, I'm not worthy, we might want to say, well, I'm worthy, but you're not. You're not. Sometimes we exclude people, and I would see this in our text today. Verse 21. 21 to 24. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But sometimes we try. Sometimes we say that, and we don't realize what it is that we're doing to ourselves when we exclude others. Sometimes we exclude people because we don't like them. We just don't like them. We can't get along. And so we don't want them to be part of the body, the same body that we're part of. Sometimes we have judged people and decided that they're not part of us. Maybe they do things differently. Maybe they baptize babies, or maybe they feel something differently, or practice their faith differently than we do. And so we draw the line. We say, they're not part of us. They're not part of the same body of Christ that I'm part of. So therefore, they are out. And I want us to understand that when we do this, and we all have this tendency, folks, that this is wrong. And we need to turn from this. There are many times when we look at others in other churches or other groups, and we make this judgment, they are not followers of Jesus. I want you to understand that if Jesus is their Savior and Lord, that they are part of the body, whether we like it or not. And for us to exclude them is for us to cut off part of our body together. Sometimes we want to exclude people because they're just on the other side of the aisle. Not necessarily here. But they're on the other side of the aisle of something, right? We have labels for everything, okay? And when you think of yourself, sometimes, and churches will often do this, you know, we'll go down and we'll say, well, I'm this and this and this and this and this and this, as opposed to this and this and this and this and this. Right? So we have our liberal and we have our conservative. Different sides of the aisle. So we want to exclude each other. We have our evangelical and we have our orthodox. Different sides of the aisle. We want to exclude the other. Goodness, we have pro-gun control and anti-gun control. And we want to exclude each other from all kinds of things. We might even have Patriots fans and Ravens fans. We want to exclude each other. The fact is that we have all of these different things where people are on the other side of the aisle in one way or another. And when, because we don't see eye to eye on things, we want to exclude them from the body of Christ. I have to confess that I have these tendencies too. There have been those times when I have said, maybe even recently, yes, even recently, I wish I could be in a congregation where everybody agreed with me, where everybody thought the same way as I do, Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? Wouldn't that be a lot easier to deal with stuff? On first blush, that sounds great, doesn't it? But as we think it through, I came to the realization that it wouldn't be that great, but it sure would be very, very lonely. Because if everybody had to agree with me on all these things, I would be standing alone. You see, we have different sides of the aisle in every part of our lives. And we are not going to be in agreement on all of these things. Nor should we. Are we still going to see each other as part of the body of Christ together? Okay. So, thank you for being different than me. And you're saying, thank the Lord I am. What then makes a healthy body? Right? I want us to look at our text once again here. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Why do I bring this up? Because we have to begin, in order to be a healthy body, we have to begin by accepting that as fact. You are the body of Christ, and every part is part of the body of Christ. We're together. Whether we like it or not, whether we're willing to accept it or not, we are all part of the body of Christ. Okay. So it begins with acceptance of that as a fact. Now, I'm not saying that every single person is part of the body of Christ, because many who will say, no, I am not part of the body of Christ. I'm not a follower of Christ or Jesus. We're not talking about them. We're talking about those who profess Christ, Jesus, as their Savior and Lord. And so you are part of the body of Christ, and we are all those parts together. One, accept that as fact. Number two, verse 25, the first part says, there should be no division in the body. Now, wait a minute. I was just talking about the fact that we aren't going to be in agreement with things. Pastor, how can there be no division in the body if we don't agree on things? Think about the body. Think about Jesus Christ as the head. We have all the different parts working together. And as we work together, we are working with the goal of serving Jesus. If we are working together with the goal of serving Jesus, we are united. United in Jesus Christ. You see? That's the idea. We're going to approach things differently. We're going to understand things differently. We're going to interpret God's word sometimes differently. We're going to practice maybe even our faith differently. We're going to experience God in different ways. But as we're living to serve Jesus as our primary goal, as we are living for Jesus, we are united, you see. And so unity doesn't mean agreement with everyone. And it definitely doesn't mean uniformity. Unity means that we are all being led by Jesus Christ as our head. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of this earth will grow dim, strangely dim, in light of his glory and grace. You see, it is in Christ that we are one, and it is in Christ that we can be united. And we must be in Christ. So what happens is when we try to find unity in something other than Jesus Christ, that's where we start to splinter apart. So we turn our eyes to Jesus. The third thing that helps to make us a healthy body is caring for every part. Each of its parts have equal concern for each other, says. We all have various needs. And as we were doing this morning in our prayer time, caring for one another, praying for one another, being concerned for one another, that's a big part of it. There's something else, though, that I've been struck with this week and convicted on myself. And that is that our care for one another also means that I'm going to care enough about you to talk to you about something. If I see that you're going down the wrong road of something, or I'm worried, or I've heard something, if I care, I'm going to talk to you. Now, what tends to happen, and this is, unfortunately, a bigger part of what happens in most churches, but it shouldn't happen, and that is that we maybe are concerned initially about someone, and so we go to talk to someone else who maybe shares that same concern, or maybe they just start to hear about it, and someone else gets talked to. And then what happens is we don't really know what the facts are, so we start filling in the blanks ourselves with what we think maybe is the case. And it may all be built out of a sense of concern. But you see the problem, right? We've turned concern from concern and caring for one another into really gossip and assumptions. And so, folks, if we care, we're going to go to one another. And we're going to say, I'm concerned about this. This is what I've heard. This is what I've seen. I care about you. Is this what's going on? Please do that. With one another, please do that with me. I'm not going to guarantee that every time you approach somebody with that kind of care, that you're going to walk away feeling great about it. I can imagine there might be some times when someone might tell you to leave, keep your nose out of their business. But if you care about them, you will approach them. Okay? And I want to encourage you to do that. The next thing is sharing the joy and pain with each part. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We're pretty good with rejoicing with each other, okay? I think that's one of the strengths of our fellowship. When we experience pain together, that often happens too. And this is another place where I've had to look deep in my own heart. Because sometimes when there's pain that's being experienced, sometimes that pain just seems too much. And there are times when we kind of wish that part of our body would just fall off. And when we allow that to happen, we become a weaker body, unhealthy body. And I've allowed some people to just fall off. It's less painful that way, it seems. But I'm wrong. It can't be. We can't allow that. If we care for one another, and if we're going to truly be the body of Christ, when one part suffers, whether we let it disappear or amputate it or whatever, that part's still going to be suffering, and it's still part of the body. And so we find ourselves suffering with no way to fix it, because it's no longer part of our body. May Lord have mercy on us and on me. We need to share in the joy and share in the pain of one another. And finally, we need to be thankful. Thankful to God for every part, because once again, God is the one who's put us together. God has done this. God has put us together with all of our diversity, with all of the things that maybe irritate us and rub us the wrong way, all the things that sometimes we just wish that friction would go away. God's put us together for a purpose. And I think I know what the purpose is. What happens when there's friction? Sometimes things warm up. Sometimes things get a little hot. We could use some of that anyway. But what happens is we become sharper. Our edge becomes more sure. The rust gets cleaned off of us. It can be a painful experience, but God knows that we need that kind of friction in our lives. And so I need those who are on the other side of the aisle about various things. We need each other. And we need to sometimes be in disagreement about things. You know, all of these experiences that we have, the ways that we understand God and God's Word, all of those differences and all the diversity that's part of that is the healthiest thing. Not only does it help us to see a bigger picture of God, because when we're all kind of all in agreement, all we know of God is what we know. But when we are able to see and be part of the body of Christ that is wide and diverse, we begin to understand God in God's fullness, and much better than we would ever know Him by ourselves. Not only that, but we live, of course, to be witnesses to this world. And if we're all in agreement and we're all happy because you're like me and I'm like you, it's no problem loving ourselves, or each other in that case, because we're really just loving ourselves. But when we're in disagreement about various things and multitudes of things, and we can still sit down and praise the Lord together and worship Him as one body, that demonstrates to the world and to our community and to those who are outside that we are truly one in Jesus Christ. And it's not our doing, but it is what God who has brought us together. You see, it gives testimony to the greatness and the fullness of Christ's love when we can be one. So pray with me that we as a congregation can truly be one, just as God intended us to be. May we accept each other in our differences. And may we never think that our presence is not needed or necessary to be part of the body, for us to be a healthy body. Because we need every part. We all do. That's what's going to make us a healthy body. Let's pray.